Two times in Scripture we find a reference being made to hearts being sound. Tonight we only want to look at one of them. Why, Pastor? Why not both? The answer is, as is often the case, when you start searching the words, you discover that they actually come from different words in the original language, but they're just translated the same in our language. It'd be helpful if they would be consistent, wouldn't it? And so tonight we want to look at one of those, and Lord willing, next week we'll take a look at the other one that has to do with sound hearts. Let's look to him in prayer, shall we? Father, we are grateful for your word, and we're thankful for what we can understand from it, how your Holy Spirit has been given to teach us, instruct us, show us your truth. I pray, Father, that you would be our instructor this evening. Help us to understand the truth. Help me to properly convey the truth. And may you be able to accomplish in our lives the truth, the purposes that this passage conveys. May we have a heart's desire to be doers of your word, not just hearers only. We'll thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, where are we going to find that first reference? The first one is in Psalm 119, verse 80. 119, the 80th verse. And in this verse, the psalmist says, "Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." Let my heart be sound in your statutes, that I be not ashamed. First, I would like us to notice, note takers, the request of the psalmist in the first part of that verse. Let my heart be sound. Well, we often ask ourselves, what does that word mean? What does the psalmist mean when he says, let my heart be sound? In this verse, this word means to be entire, without blemish, complete, full, perfect, sincerely, or sincerity, without spot, undefiled, upright, whole. There's a lot of variation on that word sound, isn't there? And we find, as we often do, if you get a hold of your Bible and you start looking at some of these different meanings, we begin to discover some of the places where those other meanings are used. For instance, one of the meanings of that word sound was the word perfect. Perfect. And if you'd turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, we'll see where that same word is used, but the translators didn't speak concerning Noah as a sound man in his generations. But it tells us these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Same word that the psalmist used here in our text. That was how God saw his heart, as one who was perfect in his generations. Again, undefiled, without blemish, complete. That was Noah. Go a few chapters later to Genesis chapter 17, and we see concerning the man Abraham. Here it tells us in verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou sound. Well, we would read that and we would say, I don't know that I understand that. But we understand the concept of perfect, don't we? Without blame, without blemish. And the Lord said, Abram, that's how I want you to walk before me. We could turn to Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22. I'm sorry, 24. Messed up your note takers. Had to scratch that out. Joshua 24, 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. What's our word in this verse?
Sincerity.
Sincerity. Serve him in sincerity. Full. Undefiled. Uprightly. That's how I want you to serve the Lord, Joshua spoke to the people. If you still have your finger in Psalm 119, look at the first verse. Psalm 119, verse 1, we see here, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And our word is undefiled. That same Hebrew word. Those who walk that way and walk in the law of the Lord, they are, we see here, the blessing upon them when this expresses and describes how they live their life before the Lord. And one last couple of verses with one of these other words. Go back to Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. no good thing will he withhold from them that, what? Walk uprightly. There's our word. You say, okay, Pastor, so what? Let me just put it in a little P.S. for the joy of sitting down and studying God's word. You look at something, and I mean, we started out with that 80th verse of Psalm 119. Let my heart be sound in your statutes. But let me just encourage you, if you want a blessing, you say, well, where do you come up with some of these other things here, Pastor? How do you know where some of these references can be found that use these other words? It's really hard. Here's all you got to do. For instance, how many of you have a concordance at your home? Do you have a Strong's concordance? You are familiar with the numbering system of the Strong's concordance, yes or no? Yes, good, good. Okay, and this particular word happens to be number 8549 in the Old Testament. And when you look up Strong's number 8549, you're going to discover that this word means, in the Strong's Concordance, all of those other things I suggested to you, to be entire, without blemish, full, perfect, sincerity, without spot, undefiled. And if you want an interesting study, start with your root word, and then you think, okay, I wonder if I can find any place in the Bible where, for instance, the word perfect uses the Hebrew number 8549. Guess what? You start looking and you discover under perfect, and you start in Genesis. Look at what you discover in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Noah was a perfect man in his generations. That's how you... And you look down a little bit more in Genesis, and Abram was to walk before the Lord with a perfect heart. That's how Bible study can become real to you. As you begin to do a little searching, don't just be content with what you've got, but see what else is there. And that's a little tip that I share with you. If sometimes you ask yourself, boy, I wish I could just get a little bit more out of Bible study. Well, I just shared with you one of the secrets. You get a hold of the concordance, you find out what the word is, you find out what it means in the back where it explains it, and then you take those words, the other meanings of it, and you start seeing, okay, if it's listed here, I don't know that I could say I have ever looked up a word that did not have some other alternate meaning that I did not find at least one place where that alternate meaning was used. It'll give richness to your time with the Lord and study if you are interested in finding more things. Well, having given that commercial for Bible study, let's move on. We've seen the request of the psalmist. He prayed here, let my heart be sound. Where? And here's what was the object that his prayer to the Lord was. I want my heart to be sound in your statutes. Statutes. Once again, when you look this up, you discover that the word statutes comes from a word which means to hack, H-A-C-K. You mean like email hackers or things like that? No, to hack or engrave. Statutes. To hack or engrave. What in the world could that have reference to? Does that suggest anything to anyone? When God had Moses up on the mountain, God gave Moses, actually, two different times, what? Tablets that had what? The laws engraved, hacked out, chiseled out. And we find here that's the connection to this particular word, statutes. It comes from to hack or engrave, and it has reference to laws being cut in stone or metal tablets. And so, with that in mind, what is a statute? It translates to the commandments that the Lord gave. What was that? Was that something that God just gave his people to consider these if you want to? You know, if you feel like it. What was God's intention for the people when he gave those tablets to Moses with the 10 laws inscribed upon them? What was the purpose of that? So that they would what? Begin to pay attention to them, find out what they mean, and begin to obey. So, these statutes are enactments, commandments, decrees, laws, ordinance. The Liberty Study Bible, in their footnote in relation to this, made reference to this word statutes, that it implies permanent and unchangeable regulations. Permanent and unchangeable regulations. And we see the request of the psalmist, and when you look at it, at his request, let my heart be sound in your permanent and unchangeable regulations. It's understandable, number two, the reason for his concern. And he states that in the last part of that 80th verse. What was the reason for his concern? That I be what? Not ashamed. Let my heart be sound in your statutes, these commandments, these unchangeable regulations that you have given, so that I be not ashamed. Look at Psalm 119, verses 4 through 6a. It says, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Then the psalmist says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all of your commandments. Some of the things of God are mysterious. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that the secret things belong unto the Lord. But it says, those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. What Moses is saying here as he wrote, he said, you know, there's a lot of things we really don't understand, what God is doing, what his purpose is, but he says, the things that God has revealed to us, we are under obligation to do them. We are under obligation to keep them. What he has revealed to us and our children, he's done this so that we might do all the words of this law. Some things we're entitled to our opinion. Sometimes certain things we shouldn't be so dogmatic. Some things we say are negotiable. And we need to be gracious when perhaps someone else differs. But some things are clearly non-negotiable. What kinds of things, Pastor? Statutes. God has not given us liberty or freedom to take or leave these permanent and unchangeable regulations in his word for his people. He expects us to be, what's our key word here? Sound. That's without blemish, undefiled, blameless in the way we approach the truth of God's word. Statutes certainly would qualify as those non-negotiable things. And we find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, we saw this some weeks ago, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence or boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. John was teaching his readers, obey his word, and when he comes, you're not going to have to be ashamed and admit that you didn't keep his word like he asked you to. Well, this brings us then to the relevance, number three, for us in our day. Again, what's our verse? Let my heart be sound in your statutes. I understand, Lord, these things are non-negotiable. I understand, Lord, there are certain things you have revealed to us that you expect us to fulfill and do in our daily living. And that's what I'm asking your help for, Lord, so that I not be ashamed when someday I stand before you. Well, what's the relevance for our day? We think of David's prayer here in this 119th Psalm. And his prayer was that with regard to being blameless in those non-negotiable issues. Let's listen to some things which could relate to our day as we read some of the writers in the New Testament. For instance, turn if you would to some of Paul's writings. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll see some references in that fourth chapter. In verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Glance over to verse 16. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this shalt thou both save thyself and them that hear thee." What relevance are those words to us? Paul warned Timothy that in the latter days, what's going to kind of be the spirit of the age? People are going to be doing what? Pardon? They're going to be just departing from the faith. They're going to be giving heed to all kinds of things. And in verse 16, what did he warn Timothy, and what does he warn you and me? Take heed to yourself that you do what? Continue in the doctrine. "Let my heart be sound in your statutes so that I won't be ashamed." Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, Paul writes to Timothy relating coming days. And in verse 13 of chapter 3, he says, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but you continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them." He said, "In fact, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. It's beneficial for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God be perfect, complete, thoroughly or completely furnished unto all good works." He continues on, and he says, "I charge thee therefore before God," who's going to judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, "preach the word." Stick with the truth. "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Why? Timothy, the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, their own desires, they shall heap or draw to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they're going to turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But you be alert, watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Timothy, see to it that your heart is sound in the statutes of God so that you not be ashamed someday. That relates to you and me. What about Peter? He wrote the similar kind of truths to his readers. Look at 1 Peter 3:15. As he was encouraging his readers to stand for the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15, "But sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 and 2. He said, "There were false prophets also among the people, even as there are going to be false prophets among you, who are going to secretly bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many are going to follow their pernicious ways. Look at chapter 3, verse 17. He said this, "You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things ahead of time, beware, lest being led away with the error of the wicked that he spoke of in chapter 2, you fall from your own steadfastness, but instead you grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord. Let your heart be sound in the statutes of God, so you not be ashamed." Finally, in Jude's writing, verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." That is non-negotiable. Look at verse 17. "Beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there's going to be mockers in the last time. And they're going to walk after their own ungodly desires. These are they who separate themselves, cause divisions is what that means, sensual, having not the Spirit, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Let your hearts be sound in the statutes of the Lord, that you not be ashamed." Are you concerned about your heart? Do you make it a matter of prayer regarding soundness in these areas, that they're not up for grabs, they're not optional? God has given us His Word. We learned in our series in 1 John. We know that we know Him if, when we keep His Word. May God give us desires to keep our hearts sound in His truth. The truth that we are under obligation to live out for His glory. Lord willing, next week we'll take a look at that second word, which comes from a whole different root word and has a whole different meaning. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer.